doubt that.
Oh.
So, what's up?
I just finished Mystic U.
Yay! How you feel?
I feel like I should be working on something else.
What's next?
I don't know if Dark Horse is letting me say.
But you've already spilled the beans at the Dark Horse, then.
Yeah, kind of just did it.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me all right?
Uh-huh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm just making sure. So, welcome to week 642 of the Crankcast.
Hi.
Is your mic plugged in?
It's been turned off and turned on again.
Oh, mic's in.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
Yeah, we're good. I was just making sure you could hear me.
Sorry.
Sean's been borrowing the microphone for his other podcast.
Hey, sorry. How's that coming along?
We recorded a second pilot last night.
Okay.
So you can see how this is
going. So it's going okay. We changed the formats a little bit.
So you're in like a beta 02.
Yeah, but this one went good, so I think we're going to move on.
All right. Alpha, then.
Alpha dog.
Or maybe even a release candidate. Well, cool.
We're going to try to bank a couple before we start putting them out.
That's not a bad idea. That way, if you decide you can't do it in a week, you got a spare.
Yeah.
Did we do that?
No. We just dove right in, dude.
Oh.
We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah, that's true.
We had no plan, although we were better organized.
We were better organized.
But I think we were better organized because we didn't know what we were doing, so we were trying to over-prepare, maybe?
We did, sort of.
Like, because we thought this is how you should do it, right? You
know? Yeah.
You make notes and stuff, and actually have a plan.
I make notes on my podcast.
Which is probably how you should do it. I guess it depends on if you're actually trying to make a point, right?
The only thing I am organized about in my life is drawing. And that doesn't even necessarily mean, like, workflow and stuff. Because my work area is the nastiest place in the world.
So they call you Mr. Norton?
Well, if you're nasty.
Oh. Wait, so you have to call everybody Miss Jackson, is what it is.
Yeah, that's how I guess. Yeah. You've made this more difficult than it should be.
See? We don't do it right. Yeah.
Nothing.
Oh. Speaking of workflow, I finally added a new piece of equipment to my workflow that I've been meaning to. All right, I mean, we've talked about this before, how sometimes when you get a new piece of gear, it takes forever to actually incorporate it into your usage because you have to learn it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Examples being like when you first switched over to a digital monitor, it just sat there as basically a monitor for a year or whatever, 8 months, whatever it was.
Right. Yeah, it took a while. It was over a year before I used it.
Yeah, and I mean, then same thing happened to me, was just trying to get the switch over from working the way I had been working to working with a new piece of gear. But a long time ago, a couple of years at least, like 3-4, I bought this game pad based on a review I had read by Frendon.
Yeah.
And he had mentioned that he was using it. It was originally started out as a Belkin model, and then this company called Razer took it over or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And It's essentially like having hotkeys on your monitor. Like, you know, if you've got a nicer monitor, you've probably already got hotkeys and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like that, but it sits off to the side, and besides having hotkeys, you've got like a directional pad and stuff like that, you know.
Is it like a hand thing? Like you hold your hand on it?
Yeah. You just rest your hand flat on top of it, and then you've got buttons and...
Yeah, it looks like something out of, like, Lawnmower Man or something.
Yeah, this model was called...
It looks like it should be used... Yeah, oh, well, it is a gaming thing. It looks like it's for gaming.
Yeah, that's what they're developed for. So you can do... this is the thing, is, like, you can program macros into it, which is, like,
Brian
a bunch of...
Brian Reaver was talking on Twitter about how he uses one.
Yeah, and it's... You know, I'm only in my first... Not even a week yet, so I'm still kind of getting my muscle memory to figure out which buttons are which, because you can assign anything from a single keystroke to a pretty complicated macro to any key on this thing, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So once you do that, though, I mean, first, that's where in my head it was a lot more complicated or something, or it seemed like a lot more work. It's like doing chores, you know? They're not really that hard. It's just your mind builds them up to being kind of more of a bitch than they are, really.
Just more trouble.
So it took me forever, but, you know, I sat down, and so far I've got it mapped for Illustrator because that's my main work program.
Mm-hmm.
So I just sat down one day while I was working, and I kind of made note of all the things I do a lot as far as shortcuts and keystrokes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I figured out what I could, you know. I kind of wish I bought one, because what I bought was the Razer Nostromo. But, I mean, I bought this several years ago, so they've got more, like, better versions, I guess, out now, newer versions.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of wish I bought something. It's got, let's see, 14 keys, a scroll wheel, like the middle wheel on your mouse,
mm-hmm.
which also has a middle click. So, and then it's got a directional pad, and then it's got a button by the directional pad, and then another button below the directional pad that is mapped to, like, the space bar.
Mm-hmm.
You can remap that, but, you know, that's the default. It's the space bar, which it's a good enough place for it. But there's, like, I think a Logitech model that has more keys, and I kind of wish I had more keys, even though this is a lot of keys already,
Right.
So I sat down and I figured out stuff just like, because, you know, when you're working, like, especially, well, in anything, really, but, like, when you're working, like, AI, if you use built-in shortcuts that they have, or if you reassign the shortcuts to mm-hmm. useful stuff to you, you can save a lot of time just in not having to figure out where something is in a menu.
Right. That, I mean...
Or, like, I've got a shortcut, like, for instance, I mapped out an action in Illustrator to take... I use it for aligning things to center, is what I call it. In this instance, I select, like, once I've got my text stacked out for a balloon, I select the text, and then I select just the round part of the balloon, and then I use the text as the key, or the balloon as the key, depends on positioning. But I select one of them as being the key, and then I use this action to align the balloon to the center, so so I don't have to just eyeball it right away. That sounds really it's not that complicated as I'm making it sound, but anyway, I had created an action to do that, and then I mapped a shortcut key to the action. Mm-hmm. To trigger the action. So now I've got that set up, but now instead of having to, and that saved me a whole bunch of steps in trying to figure out, like, either find the align buttons or do the align through a menu, and that was already saving me just on my keyboard. But now I've got that entire thing mapped to one key on here that I just, reach my middle finger up to and hit and not even have to think about it. No control number or something, or alt number or something, or whatever,
The problem with what you're describing is remembering what all these things do.
Right.
And I have a Cintiq that has that little keypad, and I thought when I got it, I would just hold it in my hand and never have to use the keyboard again. Well, what happens is I can never remember what the buttons are, and I end up using the keyboard.
Yeah. I have one button on my Cintiq that I use, and that's the rotate tool. And that's it.
Oh, yeah, see, I've got another one where I had mapped out an action to reflect stuff, swap it horizontally or whatever like that, and I've got a button set up to do that, because I use that a lot for, like, tails and things when I need to switch things fast. But they, I don't know, I thought, and that was another thing that kept making me put it off for a long time, was thinking that, oh, geez, because it took me forever to learn keyboard shortcuts to begin with, So I was like, I'm never going to remember all this crap. I've already got this other stuff. So I just kept working with the keyboard. But now, after working with this, I keep the on-screen display handy for the gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
So I can I kind of swap to that every now and then just to double-check what I'm doing. But I'm finding that, my muscle memory is actually kind of kicking in now, where I don't have to refer to that as
much. How long has that taken?
It's only taken me, like, under a week. I mean, I'm still hitting the wrong keys here and there, and I have to double check it or whatever, or if it's a function that I only use, not as often as, say, cut and paste or something like that, you know? Because, you know, something like cut, paste, copy, shift, control, crap like that, you know, you use those a lot. So I remember those. I've got those down now. But, like, I've got a macro set up to, you know, do a masked clipping path kind of thing. Or to engage the masked clipping path after I've made the paths already. And I don't use that as much, so I still have to remember, is that on button 3 or button 4, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. But it's coming together, though. I think, you know, in a month or so, I'm probably going to have all this shit down. I won't even have to refer to the chart anymore unless I change it. Here's the other cool thing about having this gamepad, though, is that not only... okay, so it's got a bunch of different profiles in it. So for the entire, you know, key map on this that I've got set up for Illustrator, I can set up a whole different key map to do things, say, in my recording program, you know, which is cool. And you can key it to auto switch when you switch to that program. So you don't even have to remember which profile it's on after a while. Or I could set up like a whole different set of key map stuff for, you know, Photoshop or browsing or whatever, you know. And it's got like, I don't know, how many, and eight key maps, I guess it's got. So I could do it for like 8 different programs if I wanted. And of course there's overlap on that stuff, control, and I don't have to relearn everything because I can leave like control shift and alt map to the same keys, you know, because those will carry over to whatever it is I'm doing. But, it's the macro thing, I think, and it's weird to say, like, you know, I'm hitting one button instead of having to do, you know, control alt F to paste in front, for instance. I'm hitting one button to do that now instead of 3, which doesn't sound like it's going to save me a lot of time, but it actually, even with the learning curve, I'm noticing my speed's picking up from where it was when I first started using it, you know? And I think eventually that's even going to be faster than hitting control alt F, you know? So, I don't know. It's just kind of neat. And plus, I like the having the... Because, I don't use a mouse so much anymore because it was giving me wrist problems. So it's easier just to keep my hand on a stylus all the time. So now with the gamepad, it's really nice having both of the directional pads. So, it just acts as arrow keys. And also having that middle scroll wheel with a click, you know. So I've got all that, like, on one hand. And, I don't have to keep moving my hand around to reach over to hit enter to reach... up to hit F2 or whatever, you know, like stuff like that. I'm digging it, is what I'm saying. That's all. And eventually I'm going to get myself a nice actual, you know, drawing monitor that has better pressure levels and stuff like that. I just, not yet, because this one still works. But eventually I will.
Do it.
Do it. It's kind of like that.
I fell asleep.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kind of babbling. It's like that thing where, you know, when you first switch to a standing desk, right? That was awkward to you, wasn't it?
Sort of. Not as much as I thought it would be, but yeah.
Okay, it's a good example then. This isn't nearly as awkward as I built it up to be in my head. I think it's a good solution, especially if you're like me and you've bought, like, you know, a budget drawing monitor that doesn't have hot keys in it or anything. This is a good way to accomplish that because, like I said, I mean, you can set up a super complicated macro if you want because it'll record whatever you're doing. And that's pretty nice. Yeah, do it. So your Cintiq, you said you have a button pad that's like separate from the monitor?
Mm-hmm. The new ones have those.
Oh, that's pretty sweet then. It's the same function then, as having a gamepad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Can you do those? Let you do like programmable stuff, like macros and stuff.
Yeah.
See, that's really neat.
It is, isn't it?
Isn't technology wonderful?
No.
Sure, it is. It's fantabulous. So, hey, I saw you guys were having a C2E2 drink and draw thing last night.
We did.
We did.
You weren't there.
I was not there. I wasn't invited. I was non-invited.
Oh, did I uninvite you?
No, I was just non-invited. It's not like uninvited. Yeah. Ow. So how was it? Was it good?
Yeah, there was a lot of people there.
Good. Did you have fun?
Did I have fun?
Yeah. Did you meet new people? See interesting things?
Met a few people.
That's pretty fun. I tried to do a drawing with Jim Terry, who loves quoting Star Wars prequels. And so I did a drawing of an elephant as Darth Maul. And then wrote Darth Maul's like only lines from the movie on it. And he didn't understand what I was doing.
Well,
I thought I was doing something right in his wheelhouse.
You tried, and that's what counts.
But it turns out he just didn't understand what I was doing, so then he drew Darth Maul next to the elephant Darth Maul.
Oh, I saw the picture. They were both Darth Maul?
I guess. And I was like, what is this? And he thought that I was drawing the Emperor as an elephant, even though he clearly had horns and face paint.
See, I recognized the Darth Maul. I didn't know what the elephant had to do with it.
I was just drawing an elephant, and then I made a Darth Maul, and I let him finish.
Oh.
And it turned out that he was violently confused.
Violently?
He did not know what to do.
He, like, hit you and stuff?
Yeah, he was thrashing around.
Sounds wrong.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't hit you, man. I mean,
whatever.
So, yeah, that's probably not good, dude.
You see how tough I am?
Are you tough enough?
I also did a drawing with Crowley, where we were both drawing on the piece of paper at the exact same time for a lot of it.
Yeah.
That was strange.
So it was like...
Why? Oh, well, you know, that is weird.
So, like,
Were you sharing a bowl of pasta together?
I was inking one part, and then he took over inking that part, and the styles were kind of all over the place.
So what I'm picturing here is you holding your stylus in your left hand and him holding it in his right hand and you guys with your arms around each other and then just sort of like drawing at the same time.
Yeah, a little bit. That's kind of close to it.
Kind of like a giant, weird, two-headed person. What?
It was like the He-Man character, too bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But drawing.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing. Pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds like an experience.
It was. Probably not one I'll ever have again.
Huh.
But it was interesting.
Because you don't want to, or the chances are you'll never have the opportunity?
It's probably never going
to
happen.
I don't know if that's true.
It was a good exercise in letting go.
Just let it go, buddy. Not everything is in your control.
So...
Go ahead, Mike.
Maybe you can explain this to me. He gave me a sticker last night.
Crowley?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did not like that sticker.
I don't understand it. Like, it's not unusual for his humor to kind of not go over your head, but just kind of...
Go around it?
It doesn't go over your head. It just smacks you in the face and falls down on the ground.
Like a bird into a window.
But, okay, so it has this hamster rage character, and he's a hamster, and he's saying there's no P in hamster?
Yes, but you're explaining the joke just by the way you're saying it, because you're really hitting the P when you're saying hamster.
How am I explaining the joke?
Well,
people say hamster.
Hamster instead of hamster.
That's a thing?
Hamster, I think, is what you're supposed to pronounce it, but people say hamster.
They do?
You were just saying hamster.
Oh. By the initial description, I thought it was making some sort of Hamptons joke or something.
It's not a very funny joke, but it is something.
It happens enough so that joke makes sense?
Yeah.
It probably happens enough if you deal with hamsters more.
Wait, what's the animal called? I'm not thinking about it.
A hamster.
See, that you said it differently than you said it before. Because when you were talking about the joke, you were saying the P.
I think it's pretty common for people to insert
a little pop in there.
But do you think that people actually think it's spelled with a P?
No.
That's where the joke problem lies.
Yes.
Well, when people are trying to write hamster rage, they probably write hamster rage and are confused why it...
How many people besides Brian Crowley write hamster rage?
His wife, every once in a while.
I bet she does.
Yeah.
And that's probably right. Huh. I just didn't know.
There's probably a good amount of little kids who write hamster.
Children. You're talking about children.
Yeah, but if I didn't really think about it and I just sat to write the word hamster, I would probably put a P into it because I'm stupid.
So it's not so much a joke as it is just an admonition.
Well, I mean,
I think it's supposed to be a joking admonition.
Maybe this is the reason why the hamster is so filled with rage.
Maybe,
constantly
misspelling. Maybe the sticker is just a conversation starter.
Oh.
Obviously
well,
it is.
It started this conversation.
Good point. Well, way to end the conversation, Sean.
Anyways, that is what the sticker was talking about.
So that's Tim trying to eat, by the way.
Is he choking? Are you helping
yeah.
him?
Yeah, he eats like my dog.
I have a cold, so yes, I do kind of.
I mean, you're keeping an eye on him, right?
Well, Mo has never died, so I'm just going to assume he's not going to.
Okay.
So what you're saying is Crowley is a genius.
Did anybody actually say that?
I think Crowley is a very unique brain.
Okay.
Well then.
It's like Crank. Very unique brain.
Crank's not unique.
I don't know anyone else who's like Crank.
Well, to be fair, I don't know anyone else quite like you either.
There you go. Sweet.
So, I mean, yeah, just saying. You, what they used to say, you march to the beat of your own drummer.
Right.
Which I'm sure is nicer than bless your heart. So.
That sounds... Yeah. March to the beat of your own drum or drummer sounds masturbatory to me.
Yeah, but you tend to see dicks in lots of things, though, dude.
Yeah, what's up, dick man?
So I kind of think maybe, like, masturbatory is just something you're prone to see? Maybe?
He's just saying you're into dicks, dude.
I mean, it's really weird to be marching and hitting a drum
with your dick
by yourself.
That's funny.
Mike likes it.
I like it. That's funny.
I think it's just more indicative of everybody having different
indicative?
Rhythms.
Indicative?
It's not long you get to use, or not often you get to use that word in a pun.
Sorry. I would have eaten somewhere else, but there's nowhere out of to sit out of range of a podcast. So.
No, I'm just laughing that Sean's just sort of casually asking if you're dying, not really like concerned or anything.
Still dying.
Just like you know, maybe.
There you go, your way.
So.
Yeah.
I have not been on. I was looking at a t-shirt site the other day.
Uh-oh.
Yesterday, as a matter of fact. And I haven't been to Threadless in a while, so I don't know the state of things there. This mm-hmm. one, the one I went to was. What the heck's it called? TeePublic.
TeePublic, yeah. I've bought some things there.
And I'm looking at it, and it's all right, I'm trying to figure out how to qualify what I'm saying without just being like I'm ragging on it or something.
Are you talking about copyright infringement?
Well, it's, to me, you know, giving a rough figure, it's probably 85% bootleg material.
Yes.
It's not even just copyright infringement. I mean, it's straight up, like, bootleg shit, you know? Like.
Oh, like, like taking existing art?
Yeah, like well, you know, because Stranger Things is big, so I'm seeing a lot of that Stranger Things poster being used in with stuff on a T-shirt, like things like that. You know, it's not even like it's barely original art; it's repurposed art, I guess. You know,
right?
And even okay, even disregarding, I mean, there's certain things where like if you take something. In our age of pop culture references, I guess, you know, there's a lot of commonplace mashing up of different kinds of things to make a joke or whatever, or to make a reference to something, whatever. And while that still probably falls in the realm of copyright infringement or IP infringement, whatever you want to call it, at least that's sort of original, I guess. I mean, it's this is where I'm having problems, like, defining what I'm trying to say. I don't know if I've quite got the vocabulary for it. Or if I know how to use the vocabulary for it, I guess. But, like, if all you're doing is straight up just drawing images of these other licensed properties' characters and then selling them on your own without, you know, having any kind of legal right to do so, that's just a bootleg, right?
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's original art or not, that's still just a bootleg, whatever.
You know? It's interesting that you're only now discovering this.
I didn't realize that it was that... Because, I mean, this is like a big site. They get a lot of traffic.
It's pretty painful. It's just a lot of cease and desist that they just pull it down immediately and then they just make something else.
Because, I mean, you know, this stuff's not... It's not like it's new. You've seen this forever. I just didn't realize it was this publicly rampant where it's like...
It's everywhere.
You know, where it's like, well, this is okay. I mean, before it was all sort of back alley deals and wink and nudges kind of stuff, you know? And now it's just like, yeah, we can do this. It doesn't matter.
Who cares? It's gonna stop us.
Right. Yeah, it's just this like kind of attitude of whatever, you know, I'm gonna just use this thing anyway and make some money off of it.
It's it's done a lot in the internet world now. It's even done in the pornography world where you do your porn parody of Justice League and then you sell a bunch and get a bunch of press before.
Yeah, like several years ago, I remember even seeing a WKRP one, and it was called like WKRP or something like that. It was called like Porn WKRP or something dumb.
Of course you did.
No, but I'm saying like they're not even like disguising it, where it used to be if you did a parody of something, you would make up a name that sounded like something.
Right.
Now it's just straight up saying this is Porn Justice League or whatever, you know?
Right. I mean, especially if you are printing on demand or streaming, you know, your porn movie, you're just spending the money to make it. You're not. So you don't have to, you know, have a bonfire of all your bootleg T-shirts that you're not allowed to sell.
Yeah, because like when I was a kid, there was a shop, a local music shop that used to get in like bootleg heavy metal shirts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they would always do stuff like, okay, I think I've still got this one even. It was a Master of Puppets shirt, you know, the Metallica album. And in the original design, you know, it was the cover art with above it the Metallica logo, and then on the bottom in the thin type it said Master of Puppets, right? Mm-hmm. On the bootleg shirt, instead of saying Metallica anywhere, in the Metallica logo style it said Master up on top and then of Puppets at the bottom. So it didn't actually say Metallica anywhere.
Pastor of Muppets.
No, that's a whole different thing.
Pastor of Muppets is a punk.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that you know, that, like, and I had a Pink Floyd shirt somewhere that didn't actually say Pink Floyd on it anywhere. It just had like album art and stuff like that on it. And that's how they used to do bootlegs back then. Now they're just straight up using the logos and calling it whatever it is, like if you were buying a licensed product, you know. And it's, like, just weird. And it's not even I have any kind of, like, real big moral qualm about it or anything. I just think it's so strange that it's blatantly public. Like,
well, fandom owns everything.
Yes.
That's weird, man. What is that mindset that just because you like something, you own it?
I don't know, man.
I mean, it's, like, even in my biggest infringement type attitude in my head, I never think I own the thing. I just think I don't have the money for it and I want it. I want something like this or whatever, you know?
Right.
But I never think like, oh, this is mine now. I can copy this and sell it and call it whatever, you know? Like, it's just weird, man.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
But yeah, so anyway, that led me to thinking I might start doing t-shirts.
Yeah.
Do any of you actually have a, do you still have a Threadless account? Do you sell anything on there?
I have one, and nobody buys anything.
Oh, okay. And maybe that's part of why it's so rampant public, I guess, is that maybe to sell anything, you have to get the stuff people recognize, right? I mean, that's why people do those walls of IP pictures, like at cons and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And rather than just doing original art or whatever, because nobody wants anything original until everybody else wants something original. Like, I don't know if I worded that right, but you know, like...
It's a built-in audience. People like things that they're familiar with.
Yeah. So I should probably just pump out a ton of Stranger Things shirts while that's still hot, right?
I mean, whatever you want to do, dude.
Or a bunch of Dilly Dilly stuff. Like.
Whatty, whatty?
I don't understand.
I just do not understand.
Dilly Dilly?
Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't really either, and from what I understand, it's nonsense, but it's nonsense that's taken on a life of its own.
But I don't know why.
What are you talking about?
It was a bunch of Bud commercials.
Bud Light,
and what? It's got a bunch of medieval people cheering each other saying Dilly Dilly, but somehow that's taken on like a pop culture thing of its own.
It's a weird affirmation in their strange medieval advertisements where they say Dilly Dilly.
This is the first time I've ever heard of it.
Well, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's...
My brother-in-law told me that he had a... he worked for a pharmaceutical company, and they had a big meeting with 50, 60 people, and he said he counted 13 incidents of Dilly Dilly being said as a confirmation.
Wow.
I've never heard that in my life.
I've never heard of this in my life.
Well, it's all, if you watch television, if you watch sports, it is. Right, exactly.
And we already, I mean, which makes sense, because we already know that sports people tend to have a herd mentality anyway.
Most people have a herd mentality.
I don't understand it.
No, I think what I'm saying about, I'm not saying this as a diss, I'm saying that sports people are predisposed to, glomming onto things in groups like that, you know? Because that's the whole thing about teams and team spirit and stuff, right? You know?
Yeah, but usually things gain popularity because there's something about them that was funny at one point, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't understand. There's no joke. It's not a joke. I don't understand why it's popular.
Well, I guess it's like, you know, hearkening back to Crowley's sticker with the no pee and hamster. I mean, maybe it's just we don't get it. Like, right? I mean...
But, okay. It's a sticker, though.
There's nothing to get, though.
I mean, at least with stuff that was common phrase like, where's the beef or something, I mean, that had a joke to it that you understood, right?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about, like the Budweiser Frog thing or the What's Up thing.
What is up?
But that comes from an ad that it was used as a joke that people liked. I flat out do not understand.
And perhaps we never, I wonder how long that'll last.
I don't know, but there's definitely going to be a big Super Bowl commercial with it.
Well, they kind of have to now, right? They're running.
The first part of a Dilly Dilly-based Super Bowl commercial was during the AFC and NFC Championship last week. That was to be continued, continued in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, pretty great.
I mean, it was sort of like McDonald's and the Szechuan sauce, right? I mean, once something took on that kind of its own momentum, they had to run with it, or else they'd be dumb, right? I mean,
except that was a joke. In a TV show.
Right.
Yeah, I understand why that was popular.
But I'm saying that as far as the company goes, though, it makes sense for them to just, all right, well, let's go with it. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't really get the Dilly Dilly thing either.
So is he making fun of the way people spell hamster or say hamster?
Oh.
Don't you think, Bo?
I
I don't know.
If you Google hipster, this stuff does come up.
Really?
Yeah.
With a P?
It's the hamster song.
Gesundheit.
There was a hamster dance.
Hamster dance, yeah. There was Hamtaro.
What?
Hamtaro.
What?
It was a Asian thing.
Hamtaro.
I ain't got time for no Asian thing. Are you playing the hamster dance?
I guess that is technically spelled with
E. Well, we can't. Can't have that going on then.
Down around the. Oh no, it is with a B. Yep. Hamster dance song.
Well, that puts a whole big wrench in his whole thing.
Why is a hamster called a hamster?
That is a very good question.
Is it like? Is it alliterative? Like it looks like a little piece of ham?
Very good.
I do not know.
That's just weird.
Do you think there's a Wikipedia for hamster and for hamster?
You mean like a? They mean different things?
Yeah.
Huh.
This is another Bearstein thing, isn't it? That's what it's gonna be.
I guess it's from a German word.
Hamster.
Homster?
Homster. Stir.
Homster?
Stir.
Which was H-A-M-A-S-T-R-A.
Homster? Homestra? Homestra. Yeah, I don't know.
Really getting on my nerves.
Slamster.
Napster. Hamster bad.
I guess Napster has a P in it.
There is no P in Napster.
Napster. I think it's just because the M and the S sound next to each other, you end up popping your M.
Sort of lazy speech?
To get to the S. You know?
Yeah.
All right. Badger, 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 badger.
Hmm.
There's no P in badger.
Sounds like someone needs to reset crank.
Badger.
Oh, that's a He-Man character.
Cool.
Great. Yeah,
pretty cool.
I don't like any of this.
But stepping back a couple of bits of the conversation here. I was just wondering, is it actually worth it to open, like, to start selling? I mean, I guess it must be worth it, because a lot of people do it, right? To sell t-shirts on these t-shirt sites?
Yeah. You gotta promote them, dude.
Is that the only way to actually... I guess that makes sense. I mean, if they don't know about them, they won't buy them.
Yeah, like, the only ones that I think are easier to make sales on are T-Fury, I think it is. Because they do the two dueling T-Furies for the day or whatever.
Oh, right, yeah.
So if you can get your shirt accepted into that, then you get, like, pushed up front. But otherwise, you're just a storefront, and you're just competing with everyone else.
Yeah, because when I was looking at, like, whatchamacallit? The one I was talking about before, TeePublic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they kind of just throw... I mean, you could search for stuff, but they just sort of throw whatever's new up in reverse chronological order, I guess.
Yeah.
They do have, like, featured artists and new artists and stuff, but...
For, like, 4 hours, you're good.
Yeah. So the... Yeah, I guess it means, like, you just have to keep putting something new up every 4 hours? If they even let you do that? I don't know. I mean, they're on demand, so what the hell do they care, right? The place that actually makes them, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I think they all are at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, none of those guys have stock, I don't
think. Yeah, because Threadless changed their whole format. They don't screen print them at there anymore.
Oh, have they moved to that just straight, like, on-demand, whatever? Like, there's machines that do it?
That's a big deal.
Yeah, because, like, okay, I'm looking at Threadless now, and Threadless is not like that, really, as far as what I'm seeing on offer. I mean, there is mashup of pop culture stuff, but it's not, like, just blatant. I'm going to use this logo and these images from this other thing. And
yeah, I mean, it depends, though, because you can have your own artist store on there, and you could make your own shit for that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, so they don't actually curate anything there either, then.
Well, no, there's the storefront, which is like the Threadless storefront, which I think you have to enter still and get votes. But then there's the artist stores, which is a separate section. And then you can just put up whatever t-shirts you want there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different then.
You can also do tennis shoes now.
What?
What?
Yeah. What? They bought a tennis shoe place that makes shoes.
What?
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 What kind of shoes?
I think they're like Vans style shoes.
That would make sense. Like just a canvas print.
Huh. Here's a funny one. It's the... I can't remember what the original piece of art's called that the Joy Division used on their, you know, with the peaks and the valleys.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all little kitty heads.
Yeah.
Instead. It's called Fur Division.
Yeah.
Genius.
That's pretty
cool. I've seen one with pugs, too.
Oh, yeah? Pug Division?
Yeah, they bought the company Bucket Feet. Yeah, which
you're a bucket foot.
So are they just like chucks? Like just canvas?
They're like Vans.
Oh, okay. Huh. That's
how much
kind
of is a custom shoe.
Where? What's that called?
Well, the original company is called Bucket Feet, but I'm just at the Threadless store looking at designs, but I can't find how to find.
Oh, okay.
Hats now.
Cats?
Apparently it's like $65 for a custom shoe.
Just one shoe?
No, for a pair.
It's $130 for a pair.
That's
but they look like those cheap ones that you can get at Payless for like $19 or something like that. I mean, except you're getting a custom thing.
Yeah, they look like Vans.
Yeah, but they look like the... Well, I mean, even Vans are pretty cheap now. No, I'm thinking Airwalks. Vans are actually still kind of nice. Airwalks are really cheap now.
Shoe talk.
Yeah.
Tired.
Oh.
Shoe talk. Most of it seems to be geometric pattern-y stuff, or like flower patterns and stuff.
This one's pandas, though.
Pandas are good.
Jesus, pandas.
We all need a little pandemonium in our life. Oh, is that the one called Lazy Day?
Yep.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I wonder if I can find a Fur Division pair of shoes. Anyway.
I think you should get the print of the striped print from your app as a shoe. Then you can match the top and the bottom.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know about that, though. Oh, I could get my mom some chicken shoes. She's got a chicken thing.
Yeah, she does.
She got a chicken thing?
Yeah, she likes chickens. And here's a pair... Actually, here's some chicken shoes. So, shit, dude. I see a birthday present coming up.
Happy birthday, Miss Frank.
Here's your chicken shoes. Wear them in good health. She'd like them. She'd get a kick out of them. Yeah. Kicks? Get it? She'd get a kick out of them. Oh, brother. Anyway.
Crank, you're doing a one-man show all of a sudden.
I don't know what's going on, dude. I'm sorry. So anyway. I'm a few episodes into season 5 of Smallville.
I knew it was coming.
Well, you know.
I wasn't going to encourage it.
I mean, it's something to talk about, you know.
Go ahead.
I think where I left off, I was in the middle of season 3. Season 3 wasn't that remarkable. It was starting to get a little weird because you get these whole cave things with the Indians, the Native Americans. And there's like a skinwalker in there, and apparently like Kryptonians have been on the planet for hundreds and hundreds of years. Which further gets reinforced in season 4, which is kind of batshit crazy. Because Lana gets possessed by the spirit of her dead witch ancestor, who is chasing these stones that were left on Earth like 400 years ago, 500 years ago, some crazy shit like that, you know? And I guess this is where things get confusing. It's like the reasons for why things happen start getting a little more weirder. A little more weird, I guess. For instance, like, I was always under the impression that Krypton came to Earth because Krypton exploded and it showed up when Clark did, right? You know? But there's Krypton being, or Kryptonite, I mean, I'm sorry, yeah, Kryptonite being on the planet used to guard some of these ancient artifacts that were placed in these places hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So I guess Kryptonite is a separate thing from the planet actually exploding? Maybe it's like uranium or something, I guess. It was an element that was already on the planet, I suppose. But, yeah, season 4, like I said, is weird. One, we did get some cool things in season 4. We got Crypto, which for some reason gets renamed Ashley or something like that. But we do get a Crypto. We get Kid Flash. We get a really lame Mitchell Piddalick. Like, however you say his name. He's pretty lame, though. We get a Kraft knockoff episode where not only Lana's possessed by a ghost witch, but so are Chloe and Lois Lane. So there's that, I guess. Clark falls in love and gets married, and then a couple episodes later his not-wife dies, which is kind of weird.
This is the first season?
No, this is all season 4. Also in season 4, I completely forgot that Dean Winchester is on the show. So I was kind of happy about that because I could kind of pretend that Supernatural and Smallville exist in the same universe and Dean was just there investigating weird shit. But unfortunately, he, you know, dies.
What? He was there via the trickster god.
Good point.
From Supernatural.
Oh, yeah, there's that. So that could still tie
in. So he died, but not really.
Right, there you go. Jane Seymour was his mom in that season. What's her name from, she played Lois Lane in the first, you know, the Superman with Christopher Reeves?
Margot Kidder,
she's in that season, yeah. Or maybe that was at the end of season 3. So somewhere in there. She was in part of season 4, too. Trying to think if anything else really good happens in season 4. I think season 4 is where it actually really starts going off the rails, because we get Lois Lane now. She's introduced, but she's Chloe's cousin. And she is just out of high school. Season 4 is the... Everybody's a senior in season 4, so they graduate at the end of the season.
But yeah, you're really making me mad right now.
Not a lot of remarkable stuff happens in that season, you know. Season 5 kind of opens up big. Oh, yeah, at the end of season 4, Clark winds up in the...
It really sounds like you're doing this to make me upset.
I think he is.
It sounds like you're just going on just to annoy me.
No, I'm just trying to explain things. See, uh-huh. at the end of season 4, Clark gets the crystal that sends him up north to make the Fortress of Solitude. Which you see at the beginning of season 5, and it looks like the crystalline one, you know, from the movies, right? And you get the voices and the information rods and stuff on the inside. That's kind of cool. Clark and Lana finally boink after going on 5 years there. 4 years, I guess.
You get to see it?
Well, no, it's tastefully done, But, yeah, let's see. Oh, yeah, season 5 opening up. Also, we get to, the James Marsters Brainiac. Which I, a lot of this stuff I'd completely forgotten about by the time I got to season 10. Clark and Lex are no longer friends now.
Oh, God, that sucks.
Yeah. They have a mutual enmity. And it's kind of sad because, Lex wanted to be a good guy. But it was kind of like Clark's secrets that helped drive him into being, fulfilling his destiny as being a evil dude.
That's bullshit.
That's sort of sad. Eventually, Lex just sort of gives up. Because, sometimes it's easier just to give in to your base impulses, right? At least from a personal standpoint. So it's sort of like Lex is driven to it. But, yeah. Apparently, Lionel Luthor is possessed by the same Jor-El powers that Clark's dad was a couple of seasons ago.
Powers.
Yeah. So, if I recall right, this leads into Lionel Luthor sort of becoming a good guy.
Can you record this segment, Crank's Small Girl Talk? Can you record it by yourself and just splice it in?
No.
Okay. I like the guy that plays Lionel.
Yeah, he's really good. Glover's a good guy. Good actor. Yeah. I thought he was particularly... See, this is the thing about this show, because it's already, like I said, it's going off the rails, right? I sincerely think that they didn't actually expect the show to last this long. So they're just making up shit, like, at random at this point, and trying to shoehorn it all in, right? But
is that the beginning of, CW realizing that their shows will never end?
I think so. It was a precursor of it anyway. Because, this started out as a WB show, so it was already going by the time we got the CW,
Yeah.
Because I think this was still a WB show at this point, season 5. I don't think it became a CW show until season 7, maybe? Or 6, But, I don't know, the weird, the thing about the show, and I think this is part of what kept me watching it to begin with, week to week, is that even as dumb as the season is, there's still good stuff in the season. Here and there. Eventually I get Dr. Hawkman. And, that's something I'm looking forward to revisiting again, And the episode I just watched in season 5, we had a truly surfer bro Aquaman, God, that dude said bro so much, man. It was, annoying. Hey, bro. And then we got the JLA jokes again, just like we did when Kid Flash showed up, But, there's stuff in there that's still interesting and kind of good, even though overall it's not that good. It's sort of sometimes painful to watch, almost. And with that, I'll go ahead and stop talking about it for this week. We'll pick up next week.
Do you think this show has... At times, it's just painful to watch, and yet you're doing a rewatch of it.
What's painful is that we've done this before.
Oh, we have?
Yes, he's talked about this show at length. He's summarized every episode before, and now he's rewatching it.
Yep. But the show's been off the air for 7 years, dude.
What's a show that you've never seen that you are interested in watching? Would your time be better spent watching that instead?
Oh, I don't know. I'm kind of off current shows at the moment. So, and I don't... If I haven't seen something, I don't necessarily know that I haven't seen it.
Sure.
I've been breaking up the Smallville by watching Black Books.
Watching what?
Black Books.
There's only two seasons of that. Or one season.
Three. But they're real short. They're only 8 episodes apiece.
Black Books. Good show.
It is a good show.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen that since like the mid 2000s either. So.
It's a British show.
I remember watching that because Jenny liked it. I think. That's how I found out about it or whatever. But yeah, it's funny. It's a funny show. I know, like, Amazon's got some new stuff starting up. There's a new season of The Tick coming next month.
That soon, huh?
I think so. February 19th or something like that, they said that.
Hmm.
Let's see. They've got that, whatchamacallit? Eventually that Jack Ryan show is coming. Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams has already started. So.
Yeah, I've been watching that.
I haven't seen that yet. Is it good?
It's like all anthology stuff. It's hit or miss.
Okay.
But there's some good ones that I've liked. It's not as it's nice because it's not as bleak as like a Black Mirror.
Right.
It's a lot more watchable.
Okay. I still want to watch that Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
It's pretty good.
Watch that. It's a good show.
I'll get around to that. Once I run out of Black Books, I'll probably use that to break up the Smallville stuff, because it can only take so much Smallville at once. You know?
It's really new.
And, I can watch... What?
You're killing me here.
Well, I was just going to tell you, though, you might, you know, I know you probably won't care, but you might like this. They've got at least the first two seasons of My Favorite Martian on Amazon. I mean, Walston and Bixby? Come on. That's a winning combo, dude.
I'm going to say that Mike was not too interested in that.
But he likes Bill Bixby.
Do I?
You used to. Did he?
I enjoyed a show he was on.
The one where he was a magician?
Ian, I don't know if enjoyed was very, very much used while watching this.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
They were part of my studies.
What were you studying?
I think I was mainly excited once the sad music would come on to VN.
Yeah, I was like Pavlov in here.
Yeah, I understand. Somebody save me. Over and over. Over and over.
Thank you so much.
I'm hearing that in my dreams now, man.
Yeah, well, good. You deserve it. Somebody. Couldn't happen to a worse person.
Oh, couldn't have happened to a worse person?
That's it. Greencast is canceled.
Never. 100 years.
This is I'm dead and this is hell is what's happening.
100 years, Mike and Crank. I mean, we've already got over a decade in. You know, another 90 years isn't going to be that big a deal.
Another 90 years?
Yeah, that's not that big a deal.
Dude, you're lucky if I'll be around for another 10.
Well, all right, we'll say at least 10. That'll give us 20-something years.
So weird.
Yeah, maybe. So I don't know. What have you guys been watching? What do you like?
I'm not telling you.
Why not?
You don't deserve to know what's good.
Well, that's not very nice.
You're abusing your power.
Look, the rewatch of Smallville was bound to happen sooner or later.
Oh my gosh.
Let's not talk about Smallville anymore.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
Boy.
Nothing.
How about The Lost World and the Return to the Lost World with John Rhys-Davies?
You guys, can somebody do something about this?
Hang up.
That's just
Why
rude.
Why have I never thought of that?
Dude, that's just rude.
I have never, in the history of this show, I've never thought to just hang up on you.
Oh, I know. There was something I was going to tell you that I almost forgot about until now. This goes in with your bad movies thing.
I swear to God, if you start talking about Smallville.
No, this is bad movie stuff.
Okay.
You said you watched Thunder, right?
I've seen Thunder. I've seen Thunder 2.
Was Mark Gregory in both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
He returns to play Thunder.
Well, he was also in another serial series that was a ripoff of Escape from New York.
Yeah, that's the Bronx stuff.
Yeah.
That has come up like three times this week.
We were talking about it yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've seen most of those.
There's Bronx 1990, Escape from the Bronx, and then a third one. I can't remember what the other one is.
Yeah.
But yeah. Say what?
Bronx Executioner.
Is that it?
Well, that's the name of a movie that I've never seen, but I wanted to see.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Anyway. I don't know. I just thought that would be good to know.
Mm-hmm. I was using your brain.
Oh. Did I know this? There's a Samurai Cop sequel.
Yep.
Yeah, made recently.
I haven't watched.
It's
got Tom.
I started to watch it briefly just to see how bad everyone looked now.
Yeah.
And it's annoyingly self-aware and unfun.
Huh.
Did not get very far into it.
Okay. Have you seen Warriors of the Wasteland?
Yep.
From 1983.
Yep.
What happened? How did this happen?
That he's talking about. Because I think he's using the same Amazon Prime algorithm as I do.
Is Crank your Alexa? Is he just listening at all times?
I saw Warrior of the Wasteland a long time ago, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff is, if you grew up with the TV on a lot, you saw it.
Well, they've also made a riff tracks of it.
Oh, okay. Well, then there's that, too. There's stuff I haven't seen I've got queued up. Have you seen Killing American Style?
I have not seen Killing American Style, but it is supposed to be amazing. I've seen a review of it, and I think it told me everything I need to know.
Like a bad movie? Amazing? Or?
Yeah, but it has a pretty uncomfortable rape scene in it that I don't want to watch.
Oh, we've talked about this. I think you've mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I could talk about rom-coms instead.
Raw cops?
Raw cops.
Raw cops, yes.
Cops. They're chafed. Raw cops.
Raw cops.
I mean, that does sound like a video game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I probably found on the emulator. That's been taking up most of our time, actually, Craig, because we got a RetroPie.
A retro what?
RetroPie. It's a Raspberry Pi.
Oh, an emulator? Like a art
emulator?
Okay.
We've just been looking at what games are on it more than playing anything.
Anything good?
Oh no, there's so many bad games.
I have a RetroPie that I bought recently. I've not loaded anything on it.
But yeah, it's pretty fun.
So Luke loaded those things for you. Can you check for something to ask? If I gave him my RetroPie,
I'm trying to figure out why.
Yeah, it still has it on his computer, I don't think.
Because he does that.
I'm just trying to figure out why Ryan's half talking under his breath.
Because he does that.
Because if he says no,
Is he on the phone or something?
No.
He's just randomly talking?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Because some of it sounded sort of interesting. He was talking about getting a RetroPie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I couldn't quite make out everything he was saying there.
So
he wasn't talking to you, that's why.
Killing American Style is not the movie that we watched.
No, we watched Young Rebels.
But it also has Robert Zadar
on it. All of them have Robert Zadar on
them. Except for Haunted Copy.
They have Robert Zadar and they have that that Filipino guy.
Which Filipino guy?
The guy who plays the waiter in Samurai Cop.
Comedic relief guy.
Yeah, he plays a doctor in Killing American Stuff.
Huh.
Well, you've seen...
I've seen a red letter review of it.
What if you just fast forward for me?
Yeah, I could do that.
We'll just close our eyes and talk about baseball.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do when you're...
Are you guys saying you want to watch this movie?
Absolutely.
It looks pretty good.
Okay.
Absolutely.
He does say at one point, I'm going to kill these guys American style.
Absolutely.
Guy's on fire. Robert Zadar's face is gigantic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This guy, keep in mind that main guy, the guy, the hero of that movie. Oh my God, he doesn't look human.
I know it's a disease and I feel bad, but it looks like prosthetics every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy that plays the hero in this, he's supposed to be a farmer.
Like Amish?
No, just a farmer. But if you look at him,
he's a real American.
He looks like he owns a nightclub somewhere.
Hmm. Ryan Luke says yes.
Yay!
He looks like a giant baby, Robert Zadar.
Hey, Ryan.
What? Whoa, he looks weird. Holy crap. I think it's really interesting that with that cherubism, I think is what it's called,
yeah,
that he pursued a career in acting.
That is weird.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, there it is.
That's an enamel pin.
Yeah, that is.
That is an enamel pin right there.
You just got
Zadar'd.
Zadar Wars.
Three Zadars? Four Zadars?
Zadar Wars.
Four Zadar Studio.
Oh.
That's it. I'm changing the name.
I'm reading up on RetroPie stuff.
Yeah, you gonna get one?
Well, I was building...
You're not really into those old games, are you?
Sometimes for shits and giggles. I don't, like, take them... Like, I don't get obsessed with them.
They weren't, like, a huge part of your childhood. Like, they weren't.
Well, it depends on which games you're talking about. Like, arcade games, yeah. I mean, I was in the arcade a lot as a kid.
Oh, that's right. Your parents didn't love you.
Right. The arcade was my babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or my daycare, or whatever. Yeah. And that all started, you know, with Asteroids.
The game or the physical condition?
Well, the physical condition. You see, I'm not actually from this planet. I came here.
Oh, really?
I came here in a meteor shower.
Is that why you're so into Smallville?
Yeah.
Boring.
See, he's talking under his breath again.
Yeah, because he's talking to somebody else. He's trying to be, like, not in... what do you call it? Intrusive, but...
Oh, okay. So, I get it. All right. So, anyway, what I was saying, though, is that...
X-Men Football League.
X-Men
Football League?
Doesn't this logo look like X-Men?
Oh, they announced it's finally going to be...
Marvel should get it.
It's actually going to be XFL?
Yeah. Ooh, they updated their logo.
It's going to be...
Mark my words, man. This is going to be part of the re-election.
X-Men-FL?
What year did the movie The Sixth Day take place?
Is this a trivia question?
So in The Sixth Day...
With Schwarzenegger?
There's a it's sponsored in part by the XFL. And there's a whole scene that takes place in an XFL game. And the player gets, like, severely injured on the field. And then they're like, all right, well, we're going to take you in the locker room and you'll be all right. And then they kill the guy and then they just... fire up their clone tube and put his clone out there. Which is something I talk about all the time when I watch football and when we're going to get clone technology for sports entertainment purposes.
He specifically went in said that his sport isn't political. He said, we want someone who wants to take...
I thought he said that they have to sing the national anthem.
Yeah, he's like...
That's not political?
He said, no, no. They have to take their knee at their own time.
Oh,
that yes. I'm sorry, but that's political.
Yeah. What a piece of shit. Right, he's a horrible man.
He is terrible.
Social and political issues coming into play when they're trying to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he did.
I bet you Trump owns a stake in.
I guarantee you he will.
Probably already does. That's why he shit-talked the NFL, so that he can... That's advertising.
Probably. But let's... not forget that the XFL was a colossal failure.
Oh my god, this is amazing.
That's what I'm hoping for.
And there is nothing to, even with the political climate and the people being annoyed about things in the NFL, if it's fucking bad football, which it's fucking gonna be, people are gonna be bored and not gonna watch.
Guys, this is fucking insane. People are evaluating players based on many things, including the quality of human being they are.
Mm-hmm.
If they have committed any sort of crime, criminal record, you aren't playing in this league.
Right.
Holy shit.
So that's like, what?
Crazy.
How extreme.
That is extreme.
They should all be criminals. That would be way more fun.
Criminal football league. Guys, how much money do you have? Can we start a criminal football league?
Do you mean where we actually turn out prisoners to play football? Didn't they already do that? They made a movie about it with Richard Pryor, I think.
What are you talking about?
Brewster's Millions?
No, it was one of those, where him and the guy that looks like Danny Kaye. Gene Wilder, yeah.
That you're talking about Stir Crazy, and that was a rodeo.
Yeah.
Oh. Right. Okay.
Pretty close.
You might be talking about Longest Yard.
Was that a prisoner football movie?
Yeah. Understand what the sport is.
How far are we into the show? Because that has something to do with an email we got.
Oh yeah.
How far are we into like today's show? Like the minutes?
Yeah, we're almost done.
Oh yeah. If you want to read email, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Well, email from Mersak.
Is there a P in that?
Andrew Mersak. There's no P in Mersak.
Okay.
And the subject line is the Chicago Bears' new special teams coordinator is Chris Tabor.
Is that true?
And then the middle of it with little musical notes says Football Minute.
Oh, nice. That's interesting.
Are we Googling this?
It's spelled with an O, but yes, this is true.
Tabor.
Tabor.
Now, there's also a He-Man character.
It's the Motu version.
Yeah.
Wait, but why did that have to do with how far we are into the episode?
Because you just said football minute.
Football?
And I didn't want to read emails until we were done.
Prizball.
Prizball? Prizball minute.
Crime ball minute.
Foot crime. Oh.
Crime Ball is not a bad name for a comic series that I'm going to write.
The beauty of it.
Crime Ball is the sequel to Trash Bridge.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Crime Ball is a sport they play in Trash Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of calling it Crime Ball is it could be any sport that has a ball, right? I mean,
it should. I mean, you should do it that way so that they're like sequels. Trash Bridge True Crime Ball.
Well, I just need to have a character who is...
Trash Bridge is hard to say.
An ex-Crime Ball player.
There's no P in Trash Bridge.
Trash Bridge is hard to say.
Not that it was just then for me, but I guess I add a P in the hamster, so...
I always wonder when Don Johnson's going to show up.
Just like at your house?
Oh, is it Trash Bridges?
Yeah.
You asshole.
But yes, I also do wonder when Don Johnson's going to show up at my house.
Sean, you're laughing like when the Joker falls out of the tower.
Interesting.
Right.
Captain Colin writes, "Hi, chaps. Love the Smallville discussion last week."
No! No, why did you read this?
The subject line is Smallcast email. "I have been toying around with the idea of rewatching the show. Now you've reminded me how bad an idea that was, and it saved me from a lot of wasted time. Thanks."
It's a public service.
That segment is called Crank Takes One for the Team. It's where Crank watches things and reminds people how bad it is.
Henrik from Denmark writes, "Hi, Crank, Mike, and assorted background people. I realize the question might be a bit controversial, but I'm curious to hear what your guys' opinions about the whole SJW controversy that seems to be happening on comics Twitter all the time."
Christ.
Brother.
"I am a white man in my late 30s, and I have been reading comics as long as I can remember, so I have grown up reading all the classic Marvel heroes, and I still love those characters, but I also like Squirrel Girl, Miss Marvel, and similar titles, and I guess I just don't get why some people are so mad at there being more variety."
It's because there's no P in it.
The answer is because those people are fucking idiots.
"It's like when Jane, now being Thor, the character together with most Marvel heroes..." Oh no, my phone. "That character, together with most Marvel heroes, has gone through a ton of changes throughout the years. I mean, one of the most memorable events was when he got turned into a frog. So why not just enjoy good comics that take the character to new places? We all know that old Thor will be back someday. Perhaps it's because I'm not from the U.S., but I don't... That's probably part of it, but I don't get it. Read and talk about the comics you like, and don't waste so much time on things you don't enjoy, and stop harassing female creators. How is that so hard? Sorry for the long rant. I just find the whole subject weird." You are from one of the countries that the president will let people come from. Of course you think this is weird.
I think he's totally right, but the problem is just a lot of those people that make all the noise about how much they hate, like, go on big rants about what's wrong with Marvel, are building a brand so they can be writers. They don't want to be...
Well, there's one guy doing that.
Well, yes, there's one guy specifically.
There's one guy trying to get become a writer.
Richard Meyer, I think his name
is. It's hard to tell. He uses so many pseudonyms.
But it's basically just a brand-building exercise, just taking people's grievances and make it into a... You know, Trump playbook.
You mean like somebody making a football league right now?
Yeah. You take a grievance, you decide to escalate it, you make yourself a brand, then you sell it to angry people. Then the worst part is people go, "Don't put your politics in." Like, that's politics. Mm-hmm. You used something.
But you are really only talking about one person. The rest of them are actually awful.
There's a certain percent of people, like, they're not interested in Captain Marvel and Squirrel Girl, and that's fine. You're not required to be interested in it. Don't worry about it. Right. You don't like the books, don't read them. That's fine. But there's this other side that thinks that this is somehow removing them. They're no longer important to the things mm-hmm. they love.
Right.
That somehow, because not everything is made for them, thus it must be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and those people are idiots. Those are mm-hmm. very, very sad idiots.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my particular theory on it. The whole idea that that Marvel is ruining their sales by pursuing other audiences is the stupidest thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. There was a good article about that today, or a thread, uh-huh. anyway. Mm-hmm. About what Marvel is, why Marvel actually is.
To pursue other audiences. Women readers are more active now. They buy things in bookstores in the way that comic readers don't. So it would be stupid not to make books to appeal to that audience.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going to make books that appeal to as many audiences as they can. But all these people that are like misunderstanding capitalism, which they purport to be such big fans of, which drives me fucking crazy, mm-hmm. that they think it's a charity that Marvel has to keep making books for 45-year-old guys who...
That's a good way of putting it.
Anyway, I have a rant about that, so I thought I'd share.
No, I mean, it's nothing that... I mean, that's what it is.
And it kind of reflects what we were saying earlier, or, you know, what Sean brought up earlier about fans owning everything. Like,
oh, I had a guy tell me...
That's part of it.
The idea that this is mine, and you have to do it my way. You know, like,
that's part of it.
A guy on Twitter told me that, you know, as a writer of one of these books, who's adding politics to it, I'm just a curator for this property. It's owned by the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Of which I said, no, it's owned by Marvel DC.
Mm-hmm.
Not you. Never you. And the idea that they have some mono opinion about what this is, again, it's just this fucking... just. We did this to them, you know, but not we, but the industry made them this, and now we have to deal with the monsters that we created.
Right, because it seemed like a good idea a long time ago to foster this kind of rabid interest in a product, right? I mean...
make it tribal. It's the same thing happening in politics. You used this horrible... like some asshole in the 80s, you know, published... I can't remember what the book is, but basically figured out that if you want to make people, you know... you cult your brand, right? Like you have to make... whatever you're selling, Pepsi or Coke, you choose an enemy. And then it makes people, because they have something to fight against, they make them more loyal to your brand, right? So they, you know, they do it in fucking corporate shit to sell you fucking toothpaste. And then, you know, monsters started using it in politics and all this other stuff to make people basically choose tribes, which you're sort of naturally inclined to do. And then it makes impossible for there to be anything in the middle because you have forced them to have a mortal enemy.
Can we go back to your example of toothpaste, though? Because I want to see some crazy rabid toothpaste fans.
Yeah.
We're like, fuck you, it's Crest or nothing.
So do you think that the whole Dilly Dilly thing is just to make me hate Bud Light, so then I will go drink Miller Lite, which is owned by the same company, but then be more rabid towards Miller Lite because of my hatred for Dilly Dilly commercials?
That's probably just a positive side effect.
I mean, the fact that the three light beers, main light beers, are all owned by the same company, that's such a strange thing.
Well, it's them against all the craft beers, right? That's who they're fighting now.
Not really. The light beer is the light beer. People that drink light beer are only going to drink light beer. Craft breweries barely ever.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good point.
So also, they own some of the craft beer places.
Well, they are strategically buying them all up. But the fact that Budweiser is now, I think, the third best-selling beer, and it was always number one. And Miller Lite, I think, is the number one best-selling beer in the country.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Huh.
They used to always be the Budweiser, Bud Heavy, for whatever reason. Was the number one beer in the country, and it just now, after this last year, is the number three.
So what's number two?
Bud Light, I think.
Oh, okay.
So Miller Light is one, then Bud Light, then Budweiser.
Is Miller Light also the champagne of beers, or is it just Miller that's a champagne of beers?
Michelob.
Oh, is that Michelob?
Highlight is the champagne beer.
Mm. Yeah, that's Miller, right?
And then Coors is the banquet beer.
Bud was the king of beers.
Yep, it sure was. Not anymore.
Huh. Weird. So it's all just a marketing and a, you know, late capitalism environment, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everything is, right? I mean, pretty much. Politics, actual marketing, sports, everything.
And it ends with people hating each other.
Well, that's what I'm worried about this XFL. I seriously think there's more to it than...
Yeah, it's some evil bullshit. You know, this is what happens when you think it's a good idea to put businessmen in politics. This is what you get.
Man, I don't know. Perot still seemed like a good idea.
Nope. Definitely not. Public servants, that's the only kind of people you should be putting on.
But I don't think XFL... I think it's
desks didn't have all the same problems it did before, and it just, I think people just watch non-football rather than just bad football because of whatever moral high ground they think.
God, I hope so. I hope so.
I mean, it's got to be, right? I mean, people aren't sitting around being like, boy, I am craving football, but I won't watch the NFL because it's an inferior product and there's criminals and people don't stand for the national anthem. Like, there's just there's so much competition in general. Like, it's not as simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, you've got college games, you got all that shit. Why would you watch? What could possibly invest you in another version of the same shit?
Right.
But, you know.
But a worse version. Like a much worse version.
Yeah, but that's...
Like, football is inherently an extremely boring sport. It's the most boring sport. It has the least amount of action per time window of any sport by a lot. And
I don't. That can't be true.
It is true. It is true.
You love baseball.
Yeah, there's so much more action in baseball.
It's insane. What you just said
football,
is insane.
Football, you get about 10 seconds for almost every minute, and sometimes it's a lot less than that. Then you add commercials. Football has had the illusion because they replay every single play the second it ends.
I think this is somebody who loves baseball.
No. Look this up. They've done studies where they break down the average time where action is happening.
That's probably true. Have you been in a live game?
Right. And
baseball
was
much quicker than football.
So they have 15-minute quarters, but they have a 30-second play clock, and which always runs down. So they all just stand around while the clock is running for 30 seconds. So 30 seconds of every minute of a football game is people standing around just right off the bat. And then they have tons of stoppage time, and it's really by far the most boring sport. Basketball is, I think, number one, or maybe, I think it's soccer, but even when there's action in soccer, people are standing around. But I think basketball has the most bang for its buck in terms of action versus time you sit there actually watching.
Where does tennis fall?
People are becoming more and more aware of it, and there's a lot more competition of how to spend your time. Which I think is the biggest problem that the NFL has right now.
Sports ball minute.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
More. Would you like to know more? People have figured out that football is boring. And the big saving grace of the NFL was the invention of fantasy football. And it got a lot of people to watch football games. But the appeal of that is even going down because so much of fantasy football is just guessing. People get injured all the time, and people don't do what they're supposed to do, and, you know, compared to what the experts say, and it's frustrating. So a lot fewer people are playing fantasy football, means it's less reason for them to watch. And football also has the most commercial time of any sport. So they have, this year, it instigated this really stupid thing where one out of every 5-6 commercial breaks is done picture-in-picture, so that on half the screen you're seeing football players just walk around and talk to coaches, and then the other half you're seeing advertisement. So it's trying to trick you that you're not actually watching a commercial, but you are.
Well, at least they're not cutting out what's actually going on to show a commercial, though, you know?
I mean, there's TV timeouts, you know, where they stop the action so that they can have a commercial break.
Oh.
There's halftime, which lasts, you know, 20 minutes of just commercials and people talking about football. That's extremely boring.
TV timeout was what I used to get when I was in trouble as a kid. You know, when I was a kid. But I didn't have to watch commercials. I just couldn't watch TV.
Yeah. No, football's dying fast. There are some people that say that within 10 years, we will not have football as we know it. It'll be something different.
It'll be the XFL.
That's something to look forward to.
It's not going to be the same game played by worse players. But the ratings...
isn't tight.
What Papa John thinks. The bad ratings in football aren't because people are taking a knee. It's because the product sucks. And people are starting to really figure that out and have so many better alternatives for their time.
Well, totally kills dudes and makes up their
mind. Yeah, right, exactly. Well, kills dudes. You know, it's a lot of people risking their lives for white billionaires. And, you know, I think a lot of people have that problem with it as well.
But, yeah. And to tie that back into the comic book question before, especially in, you know, I never really occurred to me, but I read this thread on Twitter earlier today that was talking about Marvel's sales and what's really going on with them from a retailer perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it was making a point, and part of the discussion was that, you know, Marvel used the failure of the diverse comics as a way to kind of distract from the fact that it was their own tactics that are causing their sales to hurt. their constant reboots and their crazy high incentives and some of their other marketing tactics. But they were blaming it all on this other thing instead. But it wasn't that thing that was failing. That was just the distraction, you know? Which is what this XFL thing sounds like. They're using the poor ratings of current football. Like, they're trying to disguise that by blaming it on people taking a knee. Right? I mean, that's sort of what I hear Ryan saying. Like,
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you saw that there's a... Well, 30 for 30 did a documentary about the XFL about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And when the XFL happened, I was in college, so I didn't really pay attention to it much. But from what I saw in the... From what the 30 for 30 says is, you know, there was a shit ton of hype for XFL. The first game had great ratings, and it fell off the table almost immediately. And by the end of the season, nobody was watching because it was just truly bad football. Like, how many times can you watch people fumble and people throw interceptions, or just flat out just watching people not be able to catch the ball? Because when another thing about football is, when your team is bad and you just watch your team do nothing, it's really hard to watch. More so than any other sport, because if your team is really terrible, you'll just be on defense the entire game. And that is not fun to watch.
But if all the teams are really terrible, then everybody's on defense at that point then, right?
Like, when a team is terrible, it's usually because of, like, a, what do they call it? It's not a finesse position. It's something like that. Like, a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver. The players that make, you know, the skill plays, I guess, those are the players that are bad, which means you just watch people, horrible quarterbacks, throw the ball into the stands, and you watch running backs fumble, and you watch wide receivers not be able to catch the ball, and you just watch that over and over again. And so then it just keeps being, well, three downs, couldn't convert anything, then you punt, three downs, couldn't convert anything, then you punt, just back and forth, and it is super, super terrible and boring.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Well, I don't, if I were the NFL, and thank God I'm not, I don't think that the XFL is really gonna take much away from them.
What are they? I'm trying to see. I don't remember much about the XFL's first run. I remember I didn't pay much attention to sports. I remember people saying similar things to what you're saying, that it wasn't good, so they weren't.
Which is really bad. And the games are all on YouTube, and I tried to watch one after watching the documentary to see what it was like. And it's just bad.
But I'm trying to remember. Do you remember in the early 90s there was a like a new hockey league? we actually, at least I think it was a new hockey league, we had a hockey team in Cincinnati for a while.
Are you talking about the AHL?
I can't, I don't remember what it was called. I just remember being around, because, like, hockey, interest in hockey in general had picked up at the point, so I guess I figured it was time to try a new league or a farm league hockey kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, there are independent hockey leagues, but then there's also, like, feeder teams, you know, affiliates.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It didn't seem like it lasted very long, but maybe it's still going on and I just don't know about it, too. I don't know, you know, like...
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, well. All right.
Smallville?
No, that's next week.
You gotta work on a jingle for it.
Smallcast!
Hmm.
Mike just groaned approving Mike.
Hmm.
I know Mike, and I think I gave that approval.
Well, heck, it's the ECHL, and apparently we still have a hockey team.
That's the East Coast Hockey League.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, it's a very small, like, what is the one that we're in? It's all part of, I forget what it is.
Okay. Oh, it was... I was just looking up the. We have our team's called the Cincinnati Cyclones, you know. And I was looking up what I guess what I was thinking of was in 1982 something called the IHL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
International Hockey
League. The IHL was an independent hockey league.
That's it stands for International Hockey League.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had the Detroit Vipers, which I went to a Vipers game at one point. But I don't think that they fed into any NHL teams.
No.
So they were, yeah, I guess they were part of the IHL in the early, that must have been what I was thinking of, but now they're part of the ECHL or SIL or something like that.
I think Nashville got one too.
It's all very confusing. Or either that or it was, I don't know. Wow, I'm looking at the history of this and it's kind of convoluted. There are actually three separate franchises with the same name in Cincinnati, like, over the years. So, yeah, anyway, weird. Not that I care that much, or you don't care either, so, hey, we'll move on.
We did it.
We did it. This is a long show, so we can close it up now if we want.
Yay.
Unless anybody's got any final thoughts about Smallville. None? Nothing? All right. What was in stores this week? Anything?
Imagine Screen 3 out.
You should buy it. What number 3? What number 3?
Imagine Screen.
Oh, okay. That's Aftershock, right?
Yeah.
No? DC.
Sorry. Vertigo. Jesus.
Vertigo.
So I'm working on the other... Right. Yes, Vertigo.
Imaginary Fiends. Oh yeah, there it is. I'm looking at it in the list. Sorry, I'm really blanking out. I'm trying to see if I had anything in stores. What issues in stores of that Mystic U there, Mike?
2 comes out next week, I think.
Oh, okay. Spy Seal. That's a cool name. Anyway. Okay. Altered History of Willow Sparks. It's a graphic novel from Oni Press. It's Tara O'Connor, I believe. And she does everything on it, but I lettered it. Like, but it's her book kind of thing. And then, yeah, that's it for me. So, we're done.
Yay!
You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com, Mike's website is IHateMike.com, Ryan's website is whatever, Sean's website is andthankyouforflying.com, Tim's at timseeliart.blogspot.com. And I believe that's it for today, this week. So until next week, keep watching that Smallville.
Go to hell!